You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Between February 20th, 2016 and February 20th, 2019, Canterbury DHB saw 2,383 recorded physical assaults, 1,450 verbal abuse incidents, and 380 psychological harm events. Overall, that accounts for 2 physical assaults a day. Since these figures, New Zealand Resident Doctors Association says there has been an even higher spike of assaults, but is concerned that they are not being reported. National Secretary for the New Zealand Resident Doctors Association, Deborah Powell, joined me to discuss what is happening within our hospitals to see such a rise in assaults. She started off by telling me why she believes we're seeing this rise in violence.
Well, what we've got is that we're experiencing an escalation of violence against hospital staff, mostly in the ED, but it's not restricted there. Our maternity units are also experiencing, a sharp rise in violence, and up on the wards. On the wards, it's particularly with family and whānau and visitors. So it's mainly alcohol related. It's not solely alcohol, but it is particularly alcohol related, and it's more than the comments, you're drunk and you say something stupid type of stuff. Staff are getting hits, they're getting spat on, they're getting groped. We have had patients who, staff who have had, who've been stabbed, had bones broken. It's a level of violence that we have, quite frankly, never experienced in our hospital system, and it's growing. It's a growing problem, and we are saying enough is enough. The staff has the right to go to work and be safe, especially in an environment where we're trying to help. The hospital staff are going to help people, and they should not be the subject of assault themselves. So, big call out here. And obviously it is a workplace, so, our employers are responsible for keeping the staff safe. And, it's a particular focus for the unions at the moment to be working with the district health boards to get on top of this problem.
Mm. Hospitals are obviously dealing with some very vulnerable members of the public sometimes. So people are suffering with mental illness in some cases, drug addiction, violence in their personal lives. How much do you think those kinds of things contribute to this rising violence?
Well, they all do. The current rise in incidents does seem to be alcohol related rather than other drugs. Tea is a problem, no two ways about it. And we've always dealt with, those with mental health issues, have ways and means of de-escalating with people, suffering from mental health issues. So certainly, people in that category, we have always had them. This particular spike, this rise, this plague, quite frankly, is predominantly being fueled, we believe, by alcohol-related events. So it is slightly different.
Mm. Some statistics I have here, just from the Canterbury DHB, I believe it's February 20th, 2016 and February 20th, 2019, there was a recorded 2,383 assaults, and that's about 2 assaults per day. Do you think we are seeing something that is beyond that?
Absolutely. One of our problems, the figures that the District Health Boards produce of reported incidents are exactly that. They're the ones that get reported. Unfortunately, we have got into a system in health where staff aren't reporting. And they're not reporting because they don't believe that the district health boards will do anything about it. So the failure to get on top of this problem early on has resulted in staff not having confidence that the DHBs are taking it seriously. So why bother? In a busy day, why stop and fill in an incident report when you don't believe it's going to have any impact or it's going to change the situation? So we do know we've got that problem. We know that the assaults are underreported because of that. The only way to turn that around, of course, is to give the staff confidence that we are going to do something about this, that we are serious about it, and that we do care, that this is their workplace and they should not have to come to work and be fearful of assault. So, a bit of a double whammy there, but I can assure you that the figures the district health boards have of recorded incidents are the tip of the iceberg.
Mm. What kind of preventative measures do you think should be put in place?
Well, first of all, absolute no tolerance. If you are drunk and coming to hospital, if you're not a patient, don't. If you do come to hospital, they need to be shown the door, voluntarily or otherwise. Secondly, if you assault a staff member, it gets notified to the police. We have got to make a very, very clear message here that this is not acceptable behaviour. And we will take action. We also need to see more security staff on deck. Now, our security staff are fabulous, I have to say. They are trained in de-escalation and restraint. In fact, most of our hospital staff are trained in de-escalation. But we need more of them. We need a far more visible presence. And we need them to be proactive, not be in a situation where they're called when things have already started to occur. So we need a far more proactive presence. And in order to do that, we do simply need more of them. So that's another area that we need to tidy up on and put some resources into. And we also need to get on top of this reporting problem. But as I say, that's a bit of a vicious circle, and we need to give the staff confidence that the reporting will have an effect. And as soon as we do that, I'm sure we'll get far better statistics out of the system, so we will be able to report that we are getting on top of the problem, or alternatively that we're not, and more stringent methods may need to be employed.
Mm. Jumping back to that zero tolerance policy that you're discussing, would that also be applied to those who are actually seeking care, or just people who are accompanying them?
Those people who are patients themselves, obviously they need to be treated. So they are a second category. But for those patients, that's where the higher presence of our security staff probably is relevant, that if someone is injured, they are a patient, but they are also drunk, then ensuring that we have someone present to assist clinical staff manage that situation and keep the clinical staff safe is what we're focusing on there. So yes, obviously patients need to be treated. We don't want to turn patients away, but we still need to make sure that the staff are safe in that environment as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.